Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Man, the Old Testament is bumping with that music. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready. I hope you are across all of our campuses. My name is Aaron Beasley. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And we are starting a brand new series, all of our campuses, everybody online right here at Stones Crossing. And that series is Making Sense of the Old Testament. And the reason we wanted to do this series is because it's hard to make sense of the Old Testament. I know, really hard, rocket science. But this is why we wanted to do this series, because if you've been a believer for a long time and you've read the Old Testament, it can be hard to make sense of it. Or maybe you're new to the faith and you haven't even really started with the Old Testament because you're like, I'm gonna probably pass on that. Or maybe you came today and you just accepted an invitation and you're not even really sure about this church thing and you're like, I don't even know what the Old Testament is. Well, the Old Testament is the first section. It's 39 books, and then the New Testament is the second section. The Old Testament is all before Jesus, all right? And then the New Testament is about Jesus and the church and the disciples and all that, and so that's how they split it up. But it's hard to make sense of the Old Testament, and there's lots of reasons for that. Like, first, it seems boring, or it is boring. Like, some of you have read the Old Testament, and you're like, it's long. There's this person who begot this person, who begot this person, who begot this person, who begot this person, and why does this even matter? And then you start reading about these laws, and you're like, wait a minute, what is up with this law, and do we even follow these laws anymore? And it's this. I don't like this, which also is why it's confusing. Because you're like, wait, do we need to follow that law? But we follow this law, and then we have this, and then who is this person? I can't even say Habakkuk or Nahum, or what does that mean? It just seems confusing. Or also, it seems like the Old Testament God is different than the New Testament God. Like, I don't really like the God of the Old Testament, but Jesus I'm cool with. That's great. So it's just hard to make sense of it. There's also a lot of hard stuff in the Old Testament. Murder, rape, slavery, genocide, lots of other hard things to wrap our minds around. And so it just doesn't always make sense to us. It's the miracles, like 10 plagues. Okay, Jonah was swallowed by a whale. All right, yeah. Daniel and the lion's den, they were, okay, I don't know how I feel about that. Moses, the Red Sea parted, okay. Or, you know, didn't Jesus already fulfill the Old Testament? Like, he came and he fulfilled it, so like, we can just do away with it. We don't even need to listen to it. Like, some pastors are preaching that, like, who cares? It's hard to make sense, it's the Old Testament. Or this last one, like, correction. Like, we can read the Old Testament and it's hard to make sense of it because it starts to like, show us who we are. Like, let's just go to the Ten Commandments. All of us across all of our campuses have probably broken one of those in the last 2 weeks. Like, you shall have no other gods besides me. Like, some of us, we have put our money, our families, our kids, our jobs above God. Oh, well, awesome. Broke that one. Students, you shall honor your mother and father. And they're like, oh, no, that's in there. You shall not lie. Uh-oh. Like, we see it, it's hard to make sense because there's correction in there. And since the Old Testament is hard to understand, we choose to ignore it. Like 30% of believers, by a study, have said that they've read all the way through the Bible at least once. Well, what testament do you think is getting ignored in that little study? The Old. Or did you know that only 20% of believers read their Bible every single day? Uh-oh. Now, I'm just guessing that the sections that get skipped on the days that we don't read have to do with the Old Testament. And it's like, well, how can you prove that? Well, it's actually interesting. The Bible app that many of us use, you know, it tracks what people are doing. It can like tell you what you're doing. And in the 1 year plan, they notice that people trail off once they start getting into the Old Testament, or sometimes they just check it. Like they've read it? Uh-oh, is that you? Like you're like, yeah, I read Leviticus today. Check. Uh-huh. And so we choose to ignore it. But the reason we wanted to do this series, the reason why as pastors over the next few weeks, we're gonna be talking about the Old Testament, we're gonna deal with some of those things I just brought up that makes it hard to make sense of it. The reason why we would even do this series is because understanding the Old Testament brings clarity to our faith. Like, we need the Old Testament. It actually brings clarity to our faith, to your faith. It's kind of like math. You can have calculus and algebra, but you can't have it without addition and subtraction. Can't have it. You need the basics. You can't have someone sing a song, write a song, play a song if they don't understand notes and chords. You need the basics. Anybody ever listen to someone that doesn't understand notes and chords? It's not good. It's not pretty. In sports, you need to know the basics of that sport before you can understand strategy and what to do. I understood this about 6 years ago. We were playing basketball here, and there was about 12 of us, and we were picking teams. And two of my buddies didn't know most of the people there, but they were the ones picking the teams. And I had this friend, he was 6'4", big, muscular, and one of my buddies was like, I pick him. He was like the first pick. And let me tell you, he was like a wounded gazelle out there on the basketball court. You know why? Because he didn't know how to dribble. He didn't know how to shoot. He didn't know how to box out. I got more rebounds than he did. That's a problem. Why is that? Because he didn't know how to play the game. He didn't understand the basics. It's kind of like the Rocky movies. You can't enjoy Rocky IV really if you don't understand Rocky I. Like, you don't understand the emotion behind Rocky IV if you've never seen Rocky I. It doesn't make as much sense. But if you watch Rocky I first and then you watch Rocky IV, oh, it like opens your eyes to even more of the story, right? Well, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the basics, and you have to understand it because then all of a sudden the New Testament comes to life like never before. And that is why we wanted to do this series. So then I need to help you understand what is the Old Testament. So what I want to do right now, everybody, welcome to Aaron Beasley's Old Testament 101 class. We're going to go through a little breakthrough, okay, of real quick about what the Old Testament is, okay? So I'm gonna help. The Old Testament is actually 75% of our Bible. Did you know that? Like, look, right here on this hand, this one, see my finger? This is the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. This is bigger than this section, okay? Because it's 75% of our Bibles. It's got 39 books in it. It was written by 30 authors over a time period of about 1,000 to 1,100 years. Jesus quoted the Old Testament 70 times, and if you use paraphrasing, he quoted it over 100 times in the New Testament. The Old Testament, that's how many times he quoted it. And actually, I've got a chart for you. I wanna pop it up on the screen here. It's a little line graph, arch graph, and you're like, what am I looking at here? It's very colorful, what is this? Well, what I wanna help you see is that starting from over this side on the left, my left, is the book of Genesis at the bottom. And then to the right all the way is the book of Revelation. And what all those little lines are all the cross-referencing that happens in the Bible. It happens over 63,000 times. And most of the cross-referencing is the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's people talking about things that were in the Old Testament that got fulfilled, that happens, that is still relevant today in the New Testament. I would say that's pretty important. The founders of our faith, Peter and Paul, the early church leaders, they quoted from the Old Testament all over the place. But if I could sum up the Old Testament for all of us today, all of our campuses, if we could get it, like one sentence, I gotta sum up the Old Testament for you today, it would be this, is that it's God's story. It's about God. It's always about God. Of choosing to bless the world. He's always trying to bring his kingdom down to this world. this world that is messed up and needs help. He's always trying to bless the world through his who? People. Like if I could sum up the Old Testament for you, it's this. And if you could read the Old Testament with this lens, it would start to make more sense to you. It's God's story of choosing to bless the world through his people. It starts all the way back in the book of Genesis with this guy named Abram. He meets Abram and he says this. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them." Right here, God's setting it up. He's saying, I'm choosing people so that they can bless the rest of the world through my story and so that they can come to know who I am. And Abram, you're the first one. See, now all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. And so then that's where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then Israel comes into play because he was trying to bless the world through his people. And that's then why you can look at the Old Testament and you can divide the books up in certain sections and you can follow along. And so that you don't have to worry about that, I did that for all of us today. It's like right this. You can look and you can see that the first five books of the Old Testament are the law. And that is all about creation, about God calling Abram, about God setting up the nation, setting up these laws that were supposed to separate the people from everybody else. They were supposed to live differently so that they could show the rest of the world, like, this is actually how you're supposed to live. So that you can be blessed and you can bless other people. And then the historical books bring us up into the nation of Israel and how they came to be and all these kings and all these situations. And then it shows you how the nation of Israel started to screw that up. They weren't blessing the rest of the world. They were messing it up. And then you get into the middle here where it's poetry and wisdom. It's all about how God knows we have emotions. Like the whole book of Psalms is emotion. It's about how God knows how we feel and how life is a struggle sometimes and then how sometimes it's joyous and all these things. The book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes gives us wisdom that goes beyond all time. And then you get these books, the major and minor prophets, and that's all these prophets trying to bring the nation of Israel back to say, hey, knuckleheads, change. Remember, you're supposed to be blessing the rest of the world. You're not doing it. You're not listening. And they try to get them to change and repent and come back. And then they also talk about how God knew this wasn't the answer, and so how God was going to bring a Messiah, a person to change our hearts, to change the world. And there was prophecy in these books pointing to this future. So, thank you for coming to my class. I hope that you learned a lot, and it's not gonna cost you anything. You're welcome. Thanks for the one clap. I appreciate that. But anyways, that is what the Old Testament is. Now, some of you today are like, great, I'm glad I came today. Why is that important for me? Like, why is this important? Like, thanks for the history lesson. What does that matter today? Well, I told you, we want to bring clarity to your faith. The Old Testament actually brings clarity, and it is important. And I'm gonna give you six reasons why that is today. And the first is that you understand history, or where we come from. This is super important. You start to understand more about the basics of our whole existence through the Old Testament. Like right here in Genesis, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Wait a minute, human beings are made in God's image? Well, now you start to realize that like every human being that we come in contact with is valuable. Like has a purpose. God loves them because they're made in whose image? His. So go ahead, everyone, at all of our campuses, go ahead, look to the person to your left and to your right. Go ahead, whether you want to or not. And understand this, that person is more valuable than anything else this world has to offer. And when you understand this, in the Old Testament. It changes how you view life, how you view people. You understand that the world was created by God. It wasn't some just big bang thing that just blew up out of nowhere, and we're just this thing that's nothing, and then it's something. It's like, no, I don't care how smart you think you are. If you think that, you ain't very smart. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm trying to help you today. I'm not. Why is that? Here's why I can tell you that. Because the Old Testament and God's word tells me something different. And so it doesn't matter what the rest of the world tells me, because I understand my history. And so I can be confident. Now, that's important. Then you understand the nation of Israel and its kingdoms and where they messed up, and archaeology has proven a lot of this stuff. And then you learn about a flood that lots of other ancient civilizations talk about. It's like, oh, I know about that. That's in the Old Testament. And you start to learn about history and things that actually happened. And then you don't only understand history, you understand our moral dilemma, why everything's screwed up. Like, you know why the Old Testament's important? Because it tells you why everything's screwed up. Right here in Genesis again, the woman was convinced, she saw that the tree was beautiful and that its fruit looked delicious. Like, seriously, you had like one rule. Like, there was one rule. Don't eat from this tree. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And at that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt what? Shame. Sin has now entered. And they felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. And ever since then, all of us have been trying to cover up our mistakes and our pain and the things going on in here. How do I know this? Well, yesterday I was at the soccer fields with my oldest and my whole family for about 4 hours. And it was fun, it was fine. We had a lot of fun, but see, then I know that then people are tired and it doesn't always go well. And so we get in the car and my youngest is getting mad because my oldest has something that she wants. And she's like, she needs to give it to me. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. You just need to calm down. And then she does this thing where she goes, eh. She like does this grunt thing right now. And it makes me want to as well. And so she kept doing it, and it was like, you're not getting it, calm down. And the next thing I knew, she had this pen, because she was writing in her journal, they have journals that they were writing it, and it flies across as I'm driving. I see it. It hits the windshield, it bounces off. First of all, she's lucky it didn't hit me. And I said, why did you throw that? And she goes, I'm mad. And I'm like, well, I'm about to get really mad if you don't stop talking. I'm saying this to a 5-year-old, by the way. Why was she like that? Because there's a moral dilemma in all of our hearts, and we are all selfish. Hey, why do people act the way they do on the road, here, inside their hearts? Why do people get in arguments, and then all of a sudden somebody gets stabbed because of this? Why is there tornadoes and hurricanes and why? Because the world is also cursed because of the sin. And so then I start to understand this moral dilemma, not only about everybody else, but about who? Me. The Old Testament, you know, if you don't know the Old Testament, you try to like, well, you know, people are good. And can I just tell you something? We are not good. The Old Testament teaches us this. See, you can't solve a problem until you understand the root of the issue. And the root of the issue is we all need help. And you learn that in the Old Testament. That's why it's important. That's why it's important for your life today. I'm not good, you're not good, we all need help. And then that's why then the Old Testament teaches us about the character of God. Because God's character is different than our character. And the Old Testament shows us this all over the place in Psalms 86. But you, our Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. That's who our God is. The Old Testament teaches us this. It's how Jesus acted out who he already was and who he already said he was in the Old Testament. I'm not like this. I told you this. And so God wants to show us his character and our character so that we can realize we can't match up to that, so that hopefully we can change. And God's teaching me this every day. We just remodeled our house. And so the paint's all new. And we had to live out of our house for 6 months because one of the walls had to come down. And let me tell you something. It took 2 months for my kids to mess up something. See, my wife bought these chore charts for them to try to teach them responsibility. And they were on the pantry door where, you know, it doesn't mess up the paint. And one morning I woke up and my daughter had moved her chore chart off of the pantry door and stuck it right on a wall. And you know what she said? She goes, "Daddy, look what I did." And she was so happy. She thought it was so creative. And I went, "No." Because I knew that that stickiness was gonna rip off the paint and maybe even the drywall. And so I was going, "God, please, no." And so I slowly tried to rip it. You know where you try to like rip something off where it doesn't break? And I was slowly, and then... And there is just a huge mark of no paint and no drywall. And I went, I know where my youngest learns it from. I went, "Oh." And that scared my oldest because she thought I was really mad. And I was mad. But see, I'm trying to get the character of God in me. And so I tried to teach her, like, "Hey, we don't stick things on the wall. Stop putting things with tape and all this because it messes things up. But I'm so thankful that you're creative. And by the way, we're just like my daughter. We do stuff and we go, 'Look, God, look at what I did.' And God goes, 'That's not what I asked you to do.'" And see, his character is this, though, towards us. And I'm so thankful that it is. And I learn about that in the Old Testament. I also learn this, that he's holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory. Like, I learned that my God is so holy that my messiness can't mix with that. You know, the best picture I could give is one day we were driving with our girls and we're trying to teach her these things. And I say, "Girls, look up at the sun." And they look up and they're like, "It's too bright, Daddy." And I'm like, "I know." And that's how holy God is. He's too bright. I can't even stand before his presence. And yet, how do I know this? Because the Old Testament teaches me this about God's character. It also says this in Jeremiah, "But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me, the Lord, and understand that I am the Lord, who," here it is again, "demonstrates unfailing love, and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken." See, I know that God is a God of justice and righteousness, and one day he will make all of this right, because there's a lot of injustice in our world, isn't it? There's a lot of things that don't go right. Maybe in your own life, someone mistreated you, something happened. Watch the news, there's a lot of injustice. But see, because I know about the character of God, no matter what happens on this earth, I know that my God will make it right. See, this is why the Old Testament matters. We understand our history. We understand the moral dilemma. We understand the character of God. And we also understand promises that he has for us today. Just because he promised that then doesn't mean they aren't promises now. Like in Nahum, it says this, the Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He's close to those who trust in him. This brings me comfort. It's a promise today, so that no matter what you're going through today, maybe you walked in these doors and you are on your last bit of hope. There's a health issue, there's a financial issue, there's a work issue, there's family drama, there's something. Here's what I can tell you, there's a promise right here, Nahum. God is your strong refuge when trouble comes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's close to those who trust him. Where do you think Jesus gets the phrase like, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest? He gets it from the Old Testament. There's promises for us today. Or this one, my old boss used to say this, and it's just stuck with me forever. I love this verse. She showed me this verse. It says, the Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. You know, God said this to Moses when he was standing between the Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming and the Israelites were all freaking out. They're like, we're doomed. What are we supposed to do? And God said, just be quiet. I will fight for you. So like today when people say stuff about me that's not true, sometimes I want to be like, I'm going to tell you. Sometimes I want to say something. You know what God says? Just be quiet. Because I will fight for you. And for someone like me, I need to be told that over and over and over again. Because I like to talk. And I don't like to remain silent. I like my point to be made. And sometimes I like to have the last word. I'm working on it. And the Lord says, Aaron, here's a promise, buddy. Just be quiet. Because the Lord will fight for you. How many of our fights would stop if we learned this promise? See, this is why the Old Testament matters. See, we learn about promises for today, and then we learn about future hope. All over, I showed you that arch graph. There's cross references all over the place, prophecies that have been fulfilled and that will be fulfilled. And one that will be fulfilled is right here. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. What is that talking about? It says later on in the verses that a child will be able to stand next to a king cobra and nothing will happen. He could put their hands in the king cobra's nest and nothing will happen. How is that? Into the hole of a king cobra. How is that possible? Because this is talking about the day when God and Jesus will come back and make this world new, and that there will be no more death, no more pain, no more murder, and everything will be made right. See, that says that in the Old Testament. I can believe that. Well, why can I believe that in Isaiah 11, 6? Because in Isaiah 7, 14, it tells me, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. That's where we get the name of our church. I know it's an I here in this version. Okay, don't get distracted by that. It can be an E or an I. But the meaning means the same. It means God with us. That's where we get the name of our church. It means God with us. And he already fulfilled this. This has already happened. And so if I know that he can do this, I know he's going to do the other thing. And now I have future hope. And that all comes from the Old Testament. See, that's why this is important for us today. We have to start to get this stuff. It's not there to confuse you. It's not there to bore you. It's actually there to bring more clarity to your faith. And lastly, why is it important? It shows us the need for a savior. I already told you about our moral dilemma. Well, what's the solution? We need help. Because guess what? You'll read in the Old Testament that the Israelites couldn't do it. They messed it up too much. So God said, it's all right, I got this. In Isaiah, yet it was our weaknesses Jesus, he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, by the way, sheep are not smart, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. This is important, because if you read the Old Testament, when you get into Leviticus and you read about all these sacrifices and all this stuff that's supposed to happen, see, you can't be made whole without the shedding of blood. You can't be forgiven without blood. And so in the Old Testament, they had to kill all these animals all the time to pay for our mistakes. But see, Jesus was led once for all time because he was perfect. So we never have to do that again. And when you read the Old Testament and you understand that, it comes to life even more. Like, see, if we were still in the Old Testament, you know what would be happening right now? I'd be like, bring out the lamb. And we'd bring a lamb right out here. And I'd have to take a knife and I'd have to kill it to pay for my sin, to pay for your sin. And then I bring out another lamb to pay for Banta's sins. And then I bring out another lamb to pay for Franklin Campus's sins. And we just keep doing it. And by the way, I wouldn't still be a pastor if that was the case, because I tried to become a physician's assistant. And I started cutting into things and I was like, I can't handle this. And so I wouldn't be a pastor if we still had to sacrifice things. I'm so thankful for butchers and stuff. That's a talk for another day. It doesn't matter. I can't do that. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep silent before the shearers, he didn't open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut midstream. He died at 33. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people, for us. That's the Old Testament. That's God teaching us about who Jesus is. And when you start to understand this stuff, it doesn't make you walk away. It makes you go, oh, my God's real. What he says is true. I don't have to worry about what's happening. See, I've had some friends, because there's some hard things in the Old Testament. There is. And a lot of that has to do with our moral dilemma, and we're gonna get into that. That's why you need to come back the next few weeks, because we're gonna get into that stuff. And we're gonna talk about those things. But I've had friends, because of these hard things or because they don't understand it, they've walked away from the faith. They said, I can't believe that. And I wanted to go, no. Actually, the Old Testament brings this stuff to life even more. Don't walk away. And so today, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're just at church for the first time. What I want to let you know is the Old Testament has purpose. It's to teach you the basics so that you can really understand who Jesus is. See, I want to go back to that verse in Isaiah. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. That's the gospel. And Isaiah. Like, if this was the only verse we had, that would be enough. And that's from the Old Testament. Because today, there's some of us that haven't trusted in Christ. We are still following our own paths. And what I'm here to tell you today is God saying, don't. You can't make it on your own. You can't change on your own. That's why I sent Jesus, so he could carry all of your sin and be made whole. So I want to give every campus, every person, the opportunity to turn, to trust in the Savior, to give all of their messiness, their sin, their mistakes to a perfect Lamb that died for you. It's not the words that save you, it's not the prayer, but it's the heart behind it. And you can say something like this to God today: God, I came in here with no hope, but today I learned through your Old Testament, the words that you gave, that I do have hope through your Son, Jesus Christ, that he was led away like a lamb to the slaughter to pay for my rebellion, my sins. He lived the perfect life that I couldn't, and he took my place. And because of the shedding of his blood and his body being broken, I can be forgiven to a God who is holy, yet loves me with all of the mercy and compassion that I could ever need. Today, I'm putting my trust not in my own way, not in this world, not in anything else, but in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving me today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. It's the best decision you ever make. We have something for you. If you made that decision, it's called our Saved Box. And you can text the word saved to 65248. It's got a Bible in it. It's got your next steps in it. It's got reading plans in it. It's here to help you. So if you made that decision, it's the greatest decision you can ever make. Text saved to 65248 and go to the information desk at your campus. If you're online, we will mail you one of these. Again, thank you. Text saved to 65248. It's the best decision you can ever make. Can we give it up for those people again that made that decision? And so what's my challenge to all of our people at all of our campuses? It's this: read the Old Testament. Start in Genesis or start in the Psalms, wherever you need to start, and start reading it. And then come back as we explain some more of these things that seem difficult so that it can bring clarity to your faith. Will you join me in prayer, and then we'll dismiss the local teams. God, thank you that you are a God of mercy and compassion, that you have unfailing love, that you're righteous, and that you will bring justice. That God, you understand our moral dilemma, you understand where we're at, but yet you love us, and you've got promises for us today. We have future hope in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are banking on that today. Lord, will you, through your Holy Spirit, bring the Old Testament alive to me this week as I read it, and let me see how you're always working. We love you, we praise you, in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Thank you, guys. I'm going to turn it over to local teams.